I'm Brendan McCormack, and welcome to the Perth Fit Fan Podcast, where you get to hear from the best thought leaders and change makers from across the Perth fitness scene. In today's podcast, we'll be catching up with videographer Luke Simons. Luke is a professional content creator specializing in the fitness industry. He's worked with brands ranging from Lauren Simpson, Villain, Unfinished Business, Viking, Raw Fitness 24/7, and many others. If you love what we do, then you can become a supporter of Perth Fit Fan by joining our fan subscriptions on Facebook and gain access to exclusive content, discounts on merch, and more. And make sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher for your chance to win a Perth Fit Fam shirt, which we'll be giving away at the end of every show. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Yeah, you can't save a whiny voice, man.
So you're going to sound really good. I'm going to sound like a squirrel.
I'm sure. No, you got a good voice, man.
Oh, really?
On the podcast, for sure.
I reckon it's like self-criticism, and you're like, what audio can I, what's the best microphone to make myself actually sound good? Yeah,
it's because of the bone marrow, because your voice sounds so much deeper when you're in head, right? And then when you listen to it back, there's no bone marrow to actually like filter the noise.
Really?
Yeah, that's the difference.
And I feel like I sound like a man, and it still sounds like I'm going through puberty a lot of the time. So Luke Simons, you are heavily requested by our audience. You do a lot of work within the Perth fitness scene, within videography. So welcome on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, that's awesome, man. It's a chat that I really wanted to have as well, because I've seen you kick off and like really kill it over the past few years. So how long you been doing videography for now?
About 2 years. I started in the game about, 2 years ago now.
Yeah, it was only really, really recent. Like, what got you into it to begin with?
So pretty much before I was a content creator or a videographer, I was like heavily into the fitness scene. You know, I competed in my physique competition about 2013.
So did you? Yeah. Don't go past that. Tell us a little bit about more about that. I had no idea that you competed.
So I was, I was never really good at much apart from being active, right? So I wasn't very good at school or anything like that. My education was bad. So I was like, same. All right, I got to be, I was pretty decent at sport, and I was like, I got into the gym because I wanted to get girls. I was like, man.
How old were you?
Like 16.
Okay. Yeah. Same.
And I was like, oh man, like the girls only want like ripped dudes. So I was like, all right, I got to go to the gym. So I started getting to the gym, and then I started making really good progress, and I really enjoyed it because it was something that I really excelled at. Because I saw my friends were coming in and out of like training, and they weren't really as serious as I was. Mm-hmm. And they didn't see the end goal that I saw. Which was females at the start, but then everything shifted, and it was more about, okay, I don't want to focus on, other people's, focus on me, like females, right? I want to now focus on myself and how far can I push my physique.
Yeah.
So then I was like, oh, maybe I should do a bodybuilding comp. So I was about 18, 19 years old, so skinny. I don't know why I did it, but I wanted to do the physique category because it was relatively new at the time. It was 2013, we were still trying to figure out, oh, what do we want? Like, what do we want in the look? It wasn't really, set in stone at that time. So I went on stage. I was 19 years old. Did like a 12-week cut, mm-hmm. and I looked decent for a 19-year-old. I looked good. And then I kind of came out of it, and I was still in the fitness scene, and I was just looking at all the other people who were creating content at the time. Instagram came out, and it was only 15 seconds back then, right?
Yeah, that's right. It was.
Yeah. And like, I was looking at all these wicked videos. Like, a lot of the influencers I was following was in England and London and stuff like that. And
yeah, like your Simeon Panda, those sort of guys.
Yeah, yeah. And then you got like Addy Gillespie. Do you know him?
No.
So he's like, he's way more into calisthenics now.
Okay.
So he was more of the athletic fitness kind of athlete look. And I was like, man, that's kind of like, that's the look I want. And so I was following these guys because I wanted motivation to kind of keep me in the gym, maybe for the next show. I wanted to kind of keep me motivated for that next show, right?
Yeah.
And these guys are just pumping out all this wicked content, right? And I was like, oh, like, wouldn't it be awesome if I had like a video of myself doing that? Like,
yeah.
I want to like, the way that it made me feel, like inspired. I was so inspired after watching these videos and photos of these guys in the gym. I was like, man, I want to go to the gym now. And I was like, man, imagine if I could create content that inspires others like the way it does, like this content does with me.
Yeah.
And I was like, man. So I started kind of working on my phone. I was filming on my phone, working on iMovie. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I was trying to describe to the people who are holding my phone at the time, like how I want everything shot.
Yeah.
Like, if I want to kind of get this direction or this style of this video, it needs to be shot like this. And no one really understood what I was trying to tell them. And I was like, oh, stuff it. I'll just do it myself, right?
Yep.
So I was like, my sister was about to compete, actually.
Yes.
So my sister's Alana, and she was about to go into her first bikini competition.
Okay.
I think it was bikini IFBB. And so she was super lean. She had a sponsor at the time, and she was like, oh, can you do a video for me? And I was like, oh, hell yeah, let's do it. And I was like, stuff it. You know, we're not gonna film on the camera. I'm actually gonna buy a camera just for this shoot.
Okay.
Cause I was always interested in photography, and I was like, man, stuff it. You know, $700.
Yeah.
So got the camera, had an athlete there, which was my sister. She was super chiseled, and I was like, all right, let's go film. And at the time, I was training at Raw, and Raw Fitness just came about, and I was asked Cameron, my now boss, and I was like, oh, do you mind if I film at the gym? And he was like, yeah, go for it. So we filmed this video, and it just kind of blew up. And then after, I literally had the one video out there, because this was before anyone was really interested in content creation.
Yeah.
This was before, like, being a videographer was cool and, you know, everything like that.
So, I think it's probably even before the word content creator as like an occupation has been termed, whereas everything now is creator, whether you're a SoundCloud creator, Facebook has their creators platform, everything's a creator now.
100%. So there was some people over East doing it, and obviously majority was in England and United States. So I started creating it. So once I got the first video out, I literally had like four people messaging me, hey, can you do this for me? I was like, hell yeah, I can do it. Like, honestly, like, all the people who want videos come and hit me up. And I was just like sucking it all up. I was just like, give me everything, because I need athletes to shoot, right? And I need to create a vision. Like, I have a vision for these videos. So I would sit down with my friends and be like, oh, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? And that's how it came about, was literally just by accident.
Yeah, I find that fascinating. So one thing that you said is, like, you just started, you're doing work with your friends. So I was at the Tony Doherty seminar, and one thing that he said about trainers that ask him for advice, how do I get big? How do I get a big business is what I mean. And he's like, dude, just if you started with nothing, just train people, just do stuff, just hustle, get good at your craft. And the best way to do that is work with what you've got, which is essentially what you did. That's pretty nuts that it came off one video, because I remember you came out, so Ellis Productions came out, or Luke Simons came out, and I didn't realize that that was your first video. So I'm learning as well. But then all of a sudden, you just really put yourself out there, and you created like a rapid impact within the industry. You must have filled a hole, because essentially you were able to almost take a leadership role within that space almost instantly after a video. So how did you roll yourself out, and what was the plan?
Honestly, man, there was no plan. It was like, I feel like a lot of people out there lack confidence within themselves. You know, I get a lot of content creators hitting me up, how do you put yourself out there? How do you get more work? And it's like, man, that wasn't the deal for me. All I wanted to do is I wanted everyone to know what I did. You know, that was the goal. I want everyone on my Facebook to know I create videos, right? So I was messaging. I was constantly active, just saying, look at this, look at this. I was bombarding it. And I was bombarding people, and I'm sure people got annoyed, but I don't care. Like, I was like, I'm so passionate and so energized about what I'm doing, you know, like, I don't mind that people think, you know, I'm annoying them or whatever like that. So I was literally, there was no plan. I just went out there and was like, who wants it? Who wants it? Who wants it?
Yep.
For free, you know, come at me. And I was just taking everything that anyone would give me.
2 points that you made there. So we had a conversation before. So it's actually an interview which hasn't been released. And we were giving people it was a social media advice podcast. And one thing that you said, which really stuck for me back then, was just tell people what you do. So whenever I give advice on social media, if I'm in a classroom or whatever that is, I have my key points. But when you've been doing it for so long, you forget where people who are at the beginning stage, where they're actually at. And one thing I discovered is, like what you just said, they don't tell people what they do. Like, you know, how do you separate business from personal? And I would say, well, it's kind of the same thing when you're on social media. Essentially, it's a self-branding sort of exercise. But they don't actually tell people if they're a PT. They don't actually tell people that they're a PT or that they've got stuff on offer. Whereas, like what you're saying, you just went balls to the wall, no fear, straight out there. People are going to like you or hate you. And I would compare the hustle that you put out, I would only compare that to one other person, and that's Kerry Cummins from Bolt Health and Fitness, because he did the same thing when he released Bolt. Didn't care.
Oh, wow.
Just bombard, like just everything. Yeah, would jump in groups, would comment Bolt and tag Bolt in everything, and I used to give him hell for it, but it worked for him. It took him 6 months, and I think, you know, he built the capacity of his gym within 6 months, you know, and had rapid growth like what you did, which is pretty awesome. So I think people should take away that when you do something, don't be fearful. Really throw yourself out there and go balls to wall.
Exactly, you know, and commit to yourself and believe like that, you know, if you want to make something happen, it's only you who's got to do it. You know, like who cares if people are going to accept it or not? You know, take it to the market, see what the market says. And then if no one's reacting to it, then maybe that's a, you know, an option to do something else.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Finding validation. Hey.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So proof of concept. You know, like I took it to the market, the market responded, and I was just constantly working. So, and I was obviously working full time at that stage, working at another car dealership. And
is that what you did? Car sales?
Yeah. Oh, not car sales. I was actually behind the scenes doing transport management and everything.
Really?
Like that. Yeah.
You should have been in sales. You would have been good at sales. Hey? Had that hustle.
Are you calling me a snake? No.
Nah, not at all. Not at all.
Nah, just jokes. But sales, I know it's up and down game, but yeah, 100%. Like it can be fun.
Yeah, totally agreed. So you've done shoots with a lot of people within the Perth fitness scene. So what's been some of your highlights so far?
Oh, well, worked with Lauren Simpson. That was amazing. You know, I went over to WBFF, film athletes there. You know, and what I really loved that I just really recognized over the last year was working with fashion labels within the fitness scene.
Okay.
Like, obviously, you know, working with athletes is amazing, but for some weird reason, you know, I'm not very fashionable. Like I don't have a fashion sense.
Yeah,
it's just the way that you can portray an image or a video with fashion and architecture. It's just super fascinating to me.
Yeah,
and so working, you know, I've worked now with Villain, Stax, you know,
yep,
all those big names within the industry. And it's just been so much fun, you know, Viking as well. So
Unfinished Business as well.
Unfinished Business. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. You've done a lot, man.
So, yeah, no, I think that's been an awesome eye-opener as well. And that was the first kind of point at where I was dealing with businesses.
Okay, cool.
So this is how we work. As norm, I was used to kind of working with athletes and understanding, you know, what's the goal? Are we trying to get followers? Are we trying to sell a product? Are we trying to, you know, do X and Y? And then coming and learning more about, you know, B2B kind of systems, where how do you communicate with the brand owner, and that kind of opened the door to communications with bigger corporate businesses. You know, I've filmed videos for Telstra Awards and everything like that.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you know, I've opened up into cafes as well, and you know, real estate. So and obviously we got Ads on Wheels. Do you know Ads on Wheels?
I do. I've seen them around. Yeah. I've never looked in depth, but I know what you're talking about.
So like, they do advertising on cars. Mm. So that was, I did a promo shoot with them. They actually come, some of my mates actually, and it was awesome to work in like that industry. So you kind of get a taste of everything.
Yeah. What do you prefer?
Fitness, man. Fitness is my passion. It's where it's always been. You know, corporate is where the money's at, but I would rather be like, filming what I'm passionate about, you know what I mean?
And owning that space as well.
Oh, I've done weddings, man, but weddings are so not cool. Like, I've done about 8 weddings and I'm like, nah, this isn't for me.
And on top of all the jobs you do, you still work full-time with Raw Fitness as well. And so even though you've only been doing this for 2 years, the actual time that you've spent behind a camera and editing would have, like, not many videographers work on a full-time basis like that, and you just kind of got thrown into the mix. Because you've been doing that for probably 18, well, you've probably been doing it for almost 2 years as well.
Yeah.
So how was the learning experience going from iMovie and your camera, you know, to doing one film with the camera and, you know, with your sister, to then all of a sudden pretty much being in the job 40 hours a week, this is what you do?
Crazy. Like, obviously, I work full-time with Raw and I also work full-time with LS. So I'm working pretty much 2 full-time jobs. So it's like I'm videoing, creating content for Raw, and then I'm creating content for LS and all my other, like, clients. And it's just full on. And the process from iMovie to Adobe Premiere was frustrating. Mm. Oh, my God. If anyone's out there ever tried to create their own video and you've known nothing about it, it's a bit intense at the start,
yeah,
and frustrating. You know, it's so many little things you got to worry about,
yep,
the storyline, how everything's played out. But what I did was I took it one step at a time. So yep, I went from iMovie to Final Cut Pro because it's a similar platform where okay, it's like same layout as iMovie. So yes, you can understand a little bit more. And then from Final Cut, it was Adobe.
Because Final Cut used to be the key platform, but then Premiere Pro just kind of knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, 100%. The reason why I went Final Cut was because I was going to go to uni that year. And I was like, well, Adobe is a subscription back then. And I think it still is now.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'd just rather just pay $500 right now and get it over and done with because okay, I'm going to be poor.
Yep.
So then, but then that didn't end up happening because LS started to take it off and went for RAW. And I was like, stuff, I'm going to do it.
Yep.
So, but I didn't learn color grading. I didn't learn storylining. I didn't learn like all the little bits and pieces to video editing all at once.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend that because it's way too much. You know, learn how to film.
Yes.
And then literally just cut things together one step at a time, you know.
Where do you learn?
From YouTube, really.
Yeah, it's where YouTube, it's at now, hey.
YouTube but most of the time I learned by myself, obviously just going around and scrolling through because I don't have much patience.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to lie, man. If a video on YouTube is more than 4 minutes, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, this is painful. So what I did was, and obviously if you ever watch me on Instagram, I'm like, let's get this done within 30 seconds, this video, because yeah, no one wants to waste their time.
Oh dude, people switch off, hey.
Yeah,
people switch off so rapidly unless you're engaging and it's part of your story. You have engagement points,
yeah,
to break things up, to try and get people to hold on. Man, the drop-off rate is like so high.
100%.
Yeah.
And then I also met one of my mentors as well. I actually met him at the YG concert because I was doing content for when he was around, the rapper YG.
Is that his name, YG?
I don't know his full name, but yeah, YG. So I was there filming, doing the nightclub shoot, and then Bernard Marcello was there.
Okay.
And he's heavily in that scene. And so pretty much, you know, if you ask him, man, or how many questions has Luke asked you, he would be like, yeah, I can't even tell you how much.
But isn't that the best way to like be inquisitive and actually ask yeah, questions and learn? Man, I ask some of the dumbest questions like consistently all the time just because I want to be able to understand something. And people must think a lot of times I'm simple. But it's like, no, you're just trying to actually get to a point and trying to dig out the information in a way that you're really going to understand things. I think it's important to ask a lot of questions like that. So with the best businesses you've worked with, you don't have to name them, but you can if you want. But with what are the best businesses you should work with? What are they doing differently that help that makes them stand out?
Well, the number one business I've ever worked for and with is Raw Fitness.
Cool. Yeah. Like, I'll pay that.
Damn straight. Like, hands down, Cam and Amanda, the owners, like, it's unreal. You know, we don't hire people for their skill set. We hire them because they fit the culture. They fit the brand, you know.
Yeah.
Cam and Amanda, like, they invest so much time and energy into their employees, you know. Mm. And I've never, coming from an industrial car dealership kind of industry to this industry, working under Raw, has been unreal, honestly. Mm. Like, I've learned so much. The training is intense. And I think that, like, when what I learned from Raw and I look at other businesses and I'm like, oh, no, that's poor leadership, or, you know, they should be kind of considerate about this, you know, how they treat their employees. And so I think Raw has been an amazing kind of opportunity to see how a business should be run.
Yeah. So just with that, I did a Facebook, you know, question Q&A, and someone asked about culture, and I'm like, man, like, they said, how important is culture? I'm like, whether it's business, personal life, you know, relationships, whatever it is, like, culture is so important that, you know, it's a right fit. Even with Perth Fit Fam, when we're doing collaborations, I look at the culture. If the cultures aren't the same or they don't fit, I'm probably not going to do it because it's going to be a wrong message. So that's so important. But yeah, people that don't know Cam from Raw, he is the more I chat to him, the more respect that I have for him. Like, he's just so smart, the way that he operates, but just as a person as well, because a lot of people will carry such a scarcity mentality and they look at their competition really negatively. And he always supports everyone, even if they're right across the road. Like, he doesn't have that bone in his body of, you know, he's going to miss out because of somebody's success. Like, for him, it's like everyone wins. And if you look at their gym, it's that abundant mindset within their gym as well. The development of the Bibra Lake gym, which is, as far as I'm aware, one of the biggest gyms in the Southern Hemisphere, putting a full CrossFit arena inside of it.
You're going to love that.
It's going to be awesome. And we had this conversation, and I had this conversation with Shell before, is I can't understand from a business point of view, but all I know is he is way smarter than me. And I'm just going to enjoy sitting back and just seeing these guys develop. And it wouldn't surprise me if we see Raws pop all around the country soon.
Man, he is another – I don't even think he's human. I don't think he's human, man. Like, honestly, he is by far the hardest worker I've ever seen in my entire life. Mm. You know, a lot of people don't see what goes behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, Cam and Amanda, oh my God, like, these guys work so hard. You know, I don't even think Cameron sleeps. Like, he's going to work, and then at night he's working, you know, and then he's like maybe sleeping 2 hours, 3 hours.
Yeah. I think at one stage he went like a month of 4 hour sleep. So I started getting Jandakot sorted.
And he doesn't eat. He just goes, you know, like, he's just mental. And I've learned so much from those guys. And I'm like, and whenever I'm feeling exhausted, you know, after working at Raw and then working on my own business, and I look, I'm like, man, I'm so bloody tired. I've been working X amount, but then like all those excuses come in my head. I'm like, and then I picture, you know, Cameron working. I'm like, if he can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what's driven me as well.
Yeah. Married, 2 kids, all the excuses. All the excuses. Nah, he's someone that I want to get on the podcast. No doubt he's going to listen to it. So I'll hit him up afterwards. Because, like, honestly, I think for people to get an insight from him and actually understand behind the brand of Raw and how it's become, what it has, like, every time I chat with him, I'm inspired and I learn something new. And he's just a very open guy. It's really, really cool. Now, back to content creation. So someone looking to start out, What's your advice when someone comes to you and they say, hey, I want to start creating content?
I would ask them, are you passionate about it and why do you want to start it?
Yeah.
You know, the right questions the right answer to that question would be, you know, not because of money, not because you want to be, you know, famous YouTuber or whatever like that. Like, obviously it comes down to it, but when you start really work, you know, 60, 80 hours a week, you know, what's going to push you is because you're passionate, because you want to see your vision come to life, you know, and you're not going to take, you know, if I create a video and I have a vision for it and there's one thing wrong about it, I'm going to go back and fix it. You know what I mean? Or if there's 10 things wrong.
We dealt with this all night and all morning.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you got to be passionate about it. And, you know, I've done, how many jobs have I done for free? How many times have I gone out there and had the conversation? So my biggest tip would be, you know, get your name out there. Even if you want, like, even if you give out free, you know, your time for free, that's okay. Don't worry about it. It's because it's the conversation you have when you meet that person. You giving your time for free is just what you got to pay to get in front of that person.
Yeah.
Once you get in front of that person, like I did with you guys with Perth Fit Fam, right?
Yeah. HBF Run.
Yep. I'll do it for free. Why did I do that? Because I wanted to talk to you and Brett face to face. I wanted to get that relationship down. So then future events, who do you guys think about?
Yeah.
I want you guys to think about me.
Yeah. Even like if we go, you know, 2 years forward, now we're sitting here doing a podcast, like I could have done this with many, many other filmers, but I believe that you're the leader in this space and I like you. And it's like, I just knew that it would be a cool chat. I agree with that. I've been doing this for 16 years. People don't get it. So we had a conversation about, you know, blowing up on social media and creating something. And I said, my answer to you was, no, well, I didn't create something out of social media. It's just been a tool which has been built on a foundation of 16 years of literally doing what you said, man. You know, for me, even getting the chance to go over to the Arnold's and film and you know, be able to meet Arnie and do all this stuff.
That's crazy.
Man, that was all free.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? I just did it because it's stuff that I wanted to do.
Yep.
And the intention isn't to build a network out of it, although that does happen if you provide a good service. But it goes back to being so passionate about something.
Yep.
If somebody asked you, what would you want to do if you didn't need money? It literally is, I just do what I do now. I'm 100%. Just lucky that I'm able to do it.
100%. And, you know, you've been, you know, in the fitness industry for 16 years. You know, you've been creating the relationships, right? So you have the stronger ties even before social media came along, right?
Yeah.
So it was super easy to kind of make those ties again.
Yes. Like, it was literally just an extension.
Yeah.
That's what it became, an extension. But yeah, you're right, man. I think like we always talk about value, you and I, like with social media and providing content. And there's too many similarities. We both started training at 16. We both were horrible at school. I barely finished school. We both competed at like 18, 19. And yeah, I think that same non-academic hustle value, very self-taught with everything that we've done. But yeah, literally just going out and just been focusing on people and providing value.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that builds its own rewards over time, which I think is cool. So equipment-wise, I think that most people don't do content because they don't feel like they have the right tools. Yep. And there's a sense of fear before getting kicked off. So whether it's for their personal pages or they want to do this as a career, what's your advice in regards to equipment?
Honestly, so I think I did it a little bit wrong. I went out and, you know, I was doing everything with my phone, but then I was like, oh, I got to get a camera. You know, if I want to do this right, I got to get a camera. So I disagree with that. If you guys go on YouTube and look at, you know, iPhone edits of like workouts, it's unreal what you can do.
Yep.
So realistically, plus learning how to shoot, you know, the angles, how to move the camera, how to make the viewer feel like they're there comes from literally just holding your iPhone and just watching it back and be like, okay, so this is how it should have been done. This is what the lighting's always like, the colors. So you can learn so much with just your phone, right?
Yeah.
Honestly. And, you know, if you get an Osmo, which is stabilizer, you go far with that. Depending on who it is, obviously asking the question, if they want to be a content creator, well, then I would suggest, you know, looking into Canons or like Canon 200D, they're wicked.
Yeah.
To kind of start off, because Canon's a super easy interface to learn. And you know, you'll get stacked with the 24 to 70 mil lens. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing about that is obviously the detail is not going to be there because the f-stop is 4.
Yes.
But you'll be able to learn what mils you like to shoot at. Do you like to shoot really wide? Do you like to shoot really like close quarters?
Yep. And everyone's different. Hey, yep. Everyone has their own style within shooting.
Exactly. So I fully recommend shoot with your phone first, get a tripod. But obviously educational stuff will be different. You know, you need a tripod, you need a good mic because you want to be displaying your voice. But if you're not doing educational videos, well, then maybe a more quality high camera DSLR would be, you know, more suitable.
Would you say if someone's starting with their phone and they're getting a little bit better at it, would you say it would be then better to upgrade to a camera or to upgrade to a microphone which makes your phone sound better? Whether that's a lapel or whether that's a shotgun that plugs into your camera. Oh, sorry, to your
phone.
What
was the content they'll be creating?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think that through with the question. So I would say either a PT or someone who's just doing their stuff in the gym, which is a big part of what you do like our markets, just doing content for either their personal brand or their personal business.
I think, okay, that also raises a question with the PT, because PTs always ask them, okay, where do you want to be in the industry? Do you want to be an educator? You want to be, you know, do you want to be an influencer? Do you want to have a great physique and show that? So if you want to go down the education route, well then, yeah, I recommend investing into a microphone, but also you got to get to the level of high quality content. Mm-hmm. If you're at the stage where, you know, your audience is nitpick, like arguing about the audio, well then you're going to be pretty big. Like, let's be honest. Like you, when you first start out, audio is not going to be the first priority that like I think about. That's for sure.
Okay.
It's going to be the quality. So people got to buy into the video, right?
So you mean the actual concept of the content that's been delivered?
Yes. And obviously quality. So if we were to both shoot like a video on an iPhone and a DSLR, the quality of the content will also let the person buy into the content in terms of, you know, they look at like they're scrolling through their newsfeed and they'll say, oh, this one's quality. Okay, I'm going to look into it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because the quality of the content will determine the subconscious mind, like of the viewer, thinking, okay, this is going to be quality or it's going to be low quality.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And then the exchange on reach is that is crazy. So if we talk Instagram, you got about, or any video, you got about 3 seconds to get attention. If you get past 3 seconds and then you get to the 10 seconds, then after that, your drop off rate is very, very low. So you have the short amount of time to capture that.
Yeah.
If you do capture that, then the algorithms reward you. And if you start to get the engagement, then you start to reach more and more people. And that's how people become viral. And yes, that's how they build followers. So you're saying like the quality of that is important.
So, yeah. And I'm going to give a massive tip as well. What I've been studying over the last few weeks, this is very new in terms of like the insights of videos and everything like that. It's your, if you're running multiple marketing campaigns, right, with one offer, do a high quality video, right? But then split test it and run something of low quality.
Yeah.
Because it's crazy the amount of interactions that the low quality gets.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's going up over the last few weeks and months. I've noticed that the low quality stuff is actually skyrocketing.
Yep.
My hypothesis on that is due to, I think that when someone looks at a high quality video, their wall goes up and they're like, this is an ad, this is an ad. But when they, when they're shown a low quality like video, their wall comes down. They're like, this could be a friend.
You yes.
know, this could be someone I know because I don't know many professional content creators.
Yep.
So this could be like one of my own person, you know?
Yeah, it's so true. So that actually relates to something that's happened to us at the moment. So obviously with the content we're producing and now being like a Perfit Fam vlog, and I did the edits myself, whereas before they were always professionally edited. But one thing I discovered is I think your social media or your channels become an organism of you. So you understand your market, you understand what's going to work. You have a vibe of it and you can feel it. I was always concerned that if I didn't have a professional level quality, like full bells and whistles, full, like just top notch, then that would affect things. But I also then discovered if there was a bit of realness and connection and it didn't need to be at that level, I could actually see the engagement rates go up. I could see the view through rates go up, which is very, very important. And so my encouragement for people is, yeah, if you just start where you are and just do something, it may or may not make a difference between having, you know, a $2,000 video shot and then opposed to maybe shooting it on your phone.
Man,
like, it's crazy, hey.
Look at Facebook Live. Look at Instagram Live. You
yeah.
know? So the market is telling us, you know, we want more raw. We want more organic stuff, you know. Yeah.
They want original content is what they're rewarding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Facebook in a big way is they're doing a shift at the moment. And so they're trying to take on YouTube. And they're starting, like I said, their creators platform. They want 3 minute or above videos, and then they're going to start to boost those because Facebook's been very junk, very ad based for quite a while, and it's kind of ruined that that community vibe of it. So now they're trying to bring the YouTubers back in and then create content that you actually watch. So I find that interesting.
I'm very fascinated at how it goes.
Yeah, I'm in the beta program. So all their stuff, I get sent in the beta program. I find it good. Like I used all their sound stuff now. So I am just investing into that platform to see what it does because that's where a lot of our audience is. And for me, it's good because it's local, whereas YouTube, I can't make that local. So a little bit different.
And also people got to consider, you know, what's the end game in terms of the content? Like are you literally just, you know, buying time until you make enough revenue to then outsource it? Or is your actual goal to be a wicked content creator?
Yeah.
You know, like let's think about this for a second. So like why invest all this money and time and learning and everything like that if you don't want to be like the next big video creator or like content creator? Like obviously you got to learn to a point, but the more you learn about, you know, storylining and, you know, all this type of like hectic stuff, you could be spending on your business growing it. So then you can actually hire someone to do it for you and scale.
Yeah.
You know, like if your end goal is for business growth, then okay, let's get to the point where you know enough about content creation that's going to get you to that point and then outsource it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that as well. I would say, like we're saying, validate.
Yeah.
You can validate yourself. If you've got the validation, then you could probably reinvest into someone doing that and you focus on what you do well.
Exactly. You know, work towards your strengths.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, wrapping things up. So who are your favorite accounts to follow? Who would you recommend people go check out?
Perfect Fam.
Yeah.
So check them out. But obviously, I don't think this is a good question in terms for me to give value to this audience because the people who I follow and think got really good content is people who inspire me to be better at photography and videography.
Who are those people?
So we got Addy Gillespie that I've mentioned before. Peter McKinnon's bloody epic. That would actually be a good one, actually.
Peter McKinnon?
Peter McKinnon. So he's massive on YouTube, educational stuff. But honestly, it's more about like Gymshark. I follow them just so I can see the trends because they're trending. They create the trends.
Yes.
What's going on with content creation. So I'm always following them, understanding, okay, what content's coming out. You know, Gary Vaynerchuk, it's good.
Yep.
You know, you'll probably
Gary V shoes.
Yeah, man, exactly. So, you know, you'll probably jump on the board of if people start watching him stuff, I worry about sending people there because I don't want them to get the wrong idea about content in terms of, I got to post 6 times a day. Oh my God.
He talks about 100 pieces of content a day across all these platforms.
You know, and, you know, people get like anxious, man. They come to me and they're like, I got told I got to create like X amount of content. Like, I'm worried. I don't know how to do it. And it's just like, relax, take a breath. Do you think, like, you know, look at Gary Vaynerchuk and all his resources.
Yeah.
He can create all that stuff.
Yeah.
Do you have all the resources that he has? No. Then let's make a personal like style content platform or, you know, schedule for you. You know, don't go off of someone who's got all these resources, you know.
Yeah.
Actually look at your own resources and understand where your goals are and create a plan.
Yep.
You know, don't just like get worried about like creating content every single day, because I disagree with that, because people, I tried that, I burnt out, and I've talked to hundreds of other people, dozens I should say.
You burn out or your content becomes less quality, which means that your engagement, your reach goes out. So yeah, 100%. Quality content matters. Awesome, man. I think that's cool. Luke Simons, thanks for being on. If someone wants to touch base.
Instagram is @by_LukeSimons and I am Luke Simons on Facebook.
Wicked. Awesome. Thank you. That's it for this episode, and we hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, then make sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher for your chance to win a Perth Fit Fam t-shirt, which we'll be giving away at the end of every show. And just remember that if you love what we do, then you can become a supporter of Perth Fit Fam by joining our fan subscriptions on Facebook, and you'll gain access to exclusive content, discounts on merch, and more. Thanks for tuning in, and stay tuned for more of the Perth fitness scene to come.